If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. We're going to be looking at something today that, if you haven't guessed it from the slide, from the songs, it's talking about anger this morning, something that is a roadblock to our peace. You know, one of the things that I'm trying to do, and I confess to the shepherds this morning, that the last couple of weeks have been some of the most difficult preaching that I've done, because I'm not in a series, and I love preaching out of series, and because I kind of look at the preaching portion of our worship service, of our time together, as an ongoing conversation between us and God, a conversation that we're just having about this life that we're living. And so last week kind of feeds into this week, which goes into next week, and so forth and so on. And so that lends itself to series, because they all sort of blend in together. And so what I'm trying to do is do some topical stuff, and then we're getting into Thanksgiving here in a couple of weeks, and then Christmas, and after the first of the year, we're going to talk about heaven for a number of weeks. But this morning, what I want to do is kind of continue this idea of these what makes up our everyday. Last week we talked about planning, and I hope that this past week maybe you've been a little bit more in tune to the fact that 2012 2012 is going to happen. I was informed last week there is no "and," it's just 2012, that it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, that means that Jesus has come and taken us to be with Him, and so our plans don't matter anyway. But in the event that He doesn't get here before then, 2012's gonna happen, and we need to have a plan. We need to get involved in what God's planning for us so that we can prepare and move forward and accomplish things. And that's important for us to do. And this morning I want to talk about one of the things that will hinder us from just being a family. What Al was talking about and praying about is that, you know, we're just part of this family. And, you know, we have new family members that aren't new to the family of the Lord, but they're new to the family of Highland Hills. And one of the things that we have to do is welcome them and welcome each other. And we've got to work together, whatever it is that we're going to do and we're going to accomplish as a group of God's people that have said, we're going to stick together, and we're going to accomplish, and we're going to encourage, and we're going to do God's work together. One of the things that we have to be aware of is that our anger, our relational, whether or not we can get along, will roadblock our peace quicker than anything else we experience. And this morning, if you got your Bibles, you've heard that in James chapter 1 and 20, it says that a man's anger, or human anger, or a person's anger, doesn't bring about the righteousness that God desires. Now, one of the things that I think we would all agree on is that we want to live a life that's pleasing to God. Well, maybe we all agree on it. I'll say that again, and we'll see if we agree. We all want to live a life that's pleasing to God. All right, we're all here. Absolutely, we're all on the same page. We want to please God. I mean, if you ask us, what do you want to do? I want to please God. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to bring glory to Him. I want to be within His favor and doing what it is that He likes for me to do, that He wants for me to do. And in order for that to happen, I've got to live a life that brings about His righteousness, so that he's pleased, and that He, not so that I can gain anything, but we're not talking about I gotta conquer all this within me so that I'll qualify for salvation. Don't get me wrong, that's taken care of, and since salvation has been secured for each one of us, since God has redeemed us back to Him, since God has lifted us out of sin and death, and He's placed us at His right hand in Christ, don't we want to please Him since He's done all of that? That's how this works, is that because of all that God has done for us, now I realize that, and I want to please Him. I want to bring about His righteousness, because His righteousness deserves that. His righteousness deserves to be broadcast so that all can see, and so that more will come to Him and experience what we have. And so he says our anger doesn't bring that about. It's the one thing in all of Scripture that he said, he goes on to other sins, and he says the sexual immoral, the this, the that, the greedy, the drunkard, the glutton, all of these things will, those are bad, and they will, they will damage our relationships with one another. They will damage, but the one thing that he says is a roadblock to God's righteousness. The one thing that he says is just vital to overcome is our anger. He doesn't speak of any other human experience the way that God speaks about our anger. He says it's the one thing that will not bring about the righteousness that God desires. So if we have this, if we have to deal with this, the first thing that we need to do is understand our anger. If we have this propensity within us to not bring about God's righteousness, if we have this this characteristic, this trait of existence that is so damaging and so deadly to us in our relationship with God, to understand it is just to be prudent and to be a person that's following through that plan and saying, okay, I need to allow God to conquer some things. So we need to understand it. The first thing about anger that we need to understand, this roadblock to our peace, not only within us, but in our relationships, is that it's naturally occurring. One of the things that we have to understand about this is that we come by, like we talk about our kids, well, they come by it honestly, you know? I mean, there's certain characteristics that our kids have, some we like, some we don't like, and we see ourselves in them and we realize the things that they do and say and the way that they act, well, they come by it naturally. It's naturally occurring. What the Bible says is that a human anger does not bring about the righteousness God desires. And not only is it explaining what anger does, but explaining that it's a personality trait. We know that anger exists, in God. God has anger. In Deuteronomy, it talks about that, God is slow to get mad, slow to anger, abounding in love. Anger is talked about in reference to God and about God and who, as a characteristic of God. And since we're made in the image and the likeness of God, doesn't it stand to reason that naturally speaking, since we are His offspring, we are made in His image, that we're going to have the same characteristics and the same traits? And anger is one of those. The Bible is replete with examples of God's anger. God's anger burning against His people. His anger burning against those who are outside of His will. We have Jesus' anger displayed in the cleansing of the temple. We come by it naturally. There's one thing, though, that we have to understand is that this scripture is not talking about God. It's talking about our anger. In James chapter 1, it says, that a person's anger, a man's anger, does not bring about the righteousness that God desires. Not God's anger. There's a difference, you see, because we have this personality trait, but it's broken, it's skewed, it's imperfect. God's anger is perfect. Ours is not. And so we have to understand that within us, it's something to control. Now, one of the other things is that it's naturally occurring, and sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes that the anger that we have is not this explosive. When you think about anger, you think about it just being this explosion that just happens in the heat of the moment or the heat of passion. But it's not always like that. If you look at all of the sins that God talks about, whether it's it's greed or envy or gossiping or all that, there anger at is somewhere, maybe not at its core, but it's lurking somewhere. The reason we covet is because we're angry that we don't have what others do. The reason that we gossip is because in some level, some subtle reason, we're angry that this happened for them or that they did this, and so we want to spread something subtle. See, if we get a hold of anger, it affects so many other things. That's why God talks about it the way that He does. Because it's found as a seed in so many other sins that we find ourselves entangled with. Whether we're angry at ourselves, whether we're angry at God, whether we're angry at our brother, and it doesn't have to show up as this big mushroom cloud explosion. It shows up in these very passive, aggressive, subtle ways that we sabotage not only ourselves, but other relationships because of our anger. It's not always visible. But it can't always be present. So if we're going to understand this, it's naturally occurring. It is sometimes subtle. And it is completely controllable. The Bible tells us, it says, look, you know, Jesus says, or actually Paul says about, look, bring every inclination that you have, every thought under the control of the Holy Spirit. When he talks about the supernatural occurrence of God through his Holy Spirit in our life, he explains it that everything that we experience, every emotion we have, every personality trait that we exhibit, everything about us is capable of being controlled by God's Holy Spirit. And our anger is not unique to that. Everything about us can be controlled by the Holy Spirit, regardless of how volatile your anger is or regardless of how subtle it is. If we're willing to employ the disciplines that God has given us and dig deep into why do I covet the way I do? Why is my greed the way it is? Why do I talk about these people? Why do I do these? If we got down to its core, we would find whatever it is that's causing it and understand as subtle as it might be, it's controllable by God's Holy Spirit. And as volatile, well, that's easy. If it's volatile, if it's explosive anger, then that's less, or that's more obvious, and we know that God can control those things. But it's completely controllable through God's Holy Spirit, and we have to understand that, you know, in Proverbs 15 and 1, it says that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Well, there's something the Bible tells us there is that you know, the way that that's written, anger is present. Anger as a response to something is present already in the relationship. And they're saying that there's a way that we can respond that stirs it up. And the imagery there by the wording is that it's kind of like, you know, making it, you know, stirring a pot of stew or some kind of, you know, if you've got a crock pot of whatever, stew or chili or soup or something, and it's just sitting there. Well, when you take the lid off, you know, you can kind of get a little bit of that smell, right? But then when you just start stirring it around and more of that aroma just comes out of it. The more you stir it and you get the stuff that's on the bottom to the top and the stuff in the middle all mixed in there. And as that, all of that, and you're releasing more of the fumes and more of the heat from that, more of that aroma just arises. And what the Bible's telling us is that, look, if anger's already there, we can make it better or we can make it worse. It's controllable. It's, you know, no longer are we able to say, it's just the way that I am. I have a strong temper. It's just how I am. People need to get, no. We got to control that. You can't just say, well, it's like saying, well, I just gossip. That's just the way I am. People have to get used to it. But does that work? Well, I'm just a thief and people just have to get used to that. I steal. Somehow we just, you know, these personality traits, we just sort of whitewash. Well, you know, we might be a gossip and be okay. Well, I just tell like it is. People are going to have to get used to that. No, they're not. You're going to have to stop. You're going to have to control yourself. Doesn't Ephesians chapter 4 say, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, only that which is beneficial in building up those who hear? I don't need to know about all the sins that your neighbor commits. I don't need to know about all the bad things that somebody, you know, that you know or somebody you're related to does. I don't need to know. That doesn't build me up at all. So don't just, well, I just tell it like it is. Sometimes we need to just, if all we can do is tell it like it is, then say nothing. Because sometimes the way that it is doesn't build me up at all. It tears me down. It hurts my heart. It makes me think I'm better than somebody else. And every time I start thinking I'm better than somebody else, you need to worry about your preacher. So don't tell me something that's going to tempt me to think, well, I'm better than that person. Because I'm not. And anger's no different. It's not just something that everybody's going to have to get used to and just deal with, and y'all need to fix you to not make me so mad. No, I need to control that. Because it's completely controllable. And if we understand that, we're on our way to bringing about the righteous life that God desires. One of the things that Lou Holt says in all of his speeches about building up football teams, he says, you know, that he says, you know, I might be only one man, but I am one. And I can't do everything, but I can do something. And that I can do, I should do. And that I should do, I will do. And everything I will do, I will do to the best of my ability. I love that quote. I might only be one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I should do. And I want to think about that. Whatever we can do, we should. I mean, we really should. Whatever I can do, I should do. I just think about that a lot because so often in life we think about, well, it's an option. You know, this is something, what I can do, you're right, it is an option. But just because it's an option doesn't make it any less important. Think about the things, instead of saying, I can do this, think about, I should do this. I ought to do, this is something that I need to do. Doesn't that start making it, you know, prioritizing it in our lives instead of it being so, you know, well, I might get it done. If I don't, then I, you know, doesn't that make it more important when we think I should do that. I should really control that anger. I should really dig into my personality and my fallenness and find out what it is, because I should want to bring about as much of God's righteousness as possible. I should be someone who that should shine so brightly that people can't help but ask me, what is it about you? Why do I never hear this? Why do you always talk? Why don't? And why, because I'm shining so much of God's righteousness. So whatever we can do, we should do. And you see, the thing is that our anger does not produce righteousness. And I just want us to write that down as many times as possible. Our anger does not produce righteousness. When we think about the anger of Jesus, and in Matthew chapter 12, there's examples of Jesus being angry. And at 14 through about 35, the end of the chapter, he says that there was a man with a withered hand in the synagogue, and the Pharisees were saying, well, is he gonna heal this guy? Is he gonna heal him on a Sabbath day? And Jesus knew what they were thinking, and the wording there, in some translations doesn't have the actual wording, but the experience that is talked about, it says that Jesus' anger burned against them, and he said to the man, hold out your hand, and he did, and his hand was healed, and he did that so that it would convict the Pharisees of their thinking. And many times, a lot of Jesus' miracles were done out of anger towards the Pharisees. Because he knew what they were saying. He knew what they were prohibiting. He knew what they were, the yoke that they were trying to place back on God's people. And he said, and in his anger, he told him, stretch out your hand. In his anger, he says, come here. And he makes some mud in the dirt and he heals somebody who's blind, because he wants them to see that, you know, you can't tell God what to do when it comes to how to treat his people. You can't tell God what to do. You can't box him in, and you can't, you know, make up rules for him. And he says, I'll show you. I will do God's righteousness. I will do his work anyway. See, that kind of anger, that kind of channeled specific, when he goes into the first chapter of John, when he goes into the temple and he drives out all of the money changers. And he drives out all of those who are taking advantage. You know, it says, the Bible says that in his anger, he starts whipping people and throwing stuff around and drives them all out. Because he knows that what's going on isn't in accordance with God's will. It isn't bringing about righteousness. And so in those cases, God's anger does bring about righteousness. But ours so often doesn't. Proverbs 29:11, it says, a fool gives vent to his anger. A fool gives vent to his anger, gives full control to his anger, but a wise man quietly holds it back. And I love the wording there. It's a fool gives vent to his rumah. It's R-U-M-A-H is the transliteration. But you know what that word also means? Not just anger, but spirit. The same word when it says that, you know, in Psalm chapter 22, when it said Jesus is prophesied about, and he says, into my hands I commend my spirit. Same word, rumah. Word means spirit or breath or wind. It's the same word for the Holy Spirit, the holy wind, the holy breath of God. It says a fool, Someone who doesn't fear God, someone who doesn't want to bring about the righteousness of God, just gives full vent. It's just such a blowhard, just such a, you know, gives full vent to his spirit to just go wherever and however. But a wise man holds it back and is reserved and is calm and understand that there's something about my essence that doesn't need to be unleashed in an ungodly way. I love that imagery that a fool, his spirit, is just untamed, unrestrained. But a righteous man, a wise man, someone who fears God, allows that restraint on his own spirit, on his own essence, on his own breath, so that it is directed in a way that God chooses for it to be directed. And what we can do, we should do, and the reason is because God uses our anger. Do you ever think about that? You know, we just, oh, can't get mad, God, you know, because anger doesn't bring. No, we can get mad. What do we get mad at? You know, Jesus got mad because the Pharisees were trying to keep him from glorifying God whenever and however God wanted him to. So he said, reach out your hand, and he healed a man. Pharisees wanted to keep Jesus from glorifying God whenever and however God wanted him to. So he said to a blind man, come here and be healed. The religious people, the world wanted to keep Jesus from glorifying God whenever and however he wanted to and however God was directing him to. And so he said on many occasions, this is not how my Father's house will be treated. This is not how my Father will be, will be displayed before. This isn't how he will, this isn't the truth about him. So his anger led him to action. Instead of leading him to action to spread lies about or to spread damaging truths about, instead of his anger leading him to chase after mammon and to chase after more of this world, instead of his anger leading him to do things that are in contrary, his anger led him to put a line in the sand and to say, upon this rock I'll build a church. What can God use our anger? What can we get? Can we get mad that there are people in this town that don't know the truth about God? Can we get mad at the fact that there are people in this town that believe that there's no other option whatsoever but that they would kill an unborn child? Can we get mad at something that's happening in this town that teenagers think that there's no other experience other than to abuse their body with drugs and with sex and with things that are contrary to the will of God? Can we get so mad that we will go in the name of God and do something and say, stretch out your hand? Can God use our anger? Or will we be content to just talk, chase more of the world, covet our neighbors, whatever? Try to be more of this place and call it blessings. Or can we, like Jesus did, allow God to braid some rope together, climb into this temple, not this one, because this isn't a temple. What I'm standing in isn't a temple. This is the temple. Can we allow God to come in his righteous anger and to turn over some tables in our lives and say, no, this is not how you will treat this temple. You will not have greed and envy and lust and sloth and rebellion. You will not have those in my Father's house. My Father's house will be a house of prayer. Can we allow Jesus in his anger to come in and do that? Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to come and purge all that is within us that's worldly and replace it all that is righteousness. This morning, as we think about what can we do or what should we do, can we look around and just get mad? Just get mad and allow God to use that and to send us into the world making peace. Making peace, being peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. This morning, we have a choice to come in here and listen and pray and sing and then leave with one thought on our mind. What's for lunch? What all do I got to get done today before I come back and listen to Randy Davis talk about his mission in Russia? Or we can leave here today thinking, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? There's so much about me that's broken, but praise you that you have redeemed me and you can use all of my brokenness and make it righteousness and bring about your righteousness. God, what do you want me to do? And can we make a plan for this week that will bring about God's righteousness? Now, I can spend a whole nother sermon talking about, okay, when we get mad, we need to pray. Y'all know that. Okay, we need to, you know, when we get angry, we know all we have to do is employ what's available that we already know. If I struggle with this sermon, should it be a how-to? No, we know how-to. But will we? Will we be immersed in the Word this week? Will we be immersed in prayer? Will we allow God to control all of the things that come from our anger? Whatever your need is this morning, if you need to be prayed with, prayed for, to have God conquer things of this nature in your life, if you want to just commit your life to Christ and be completely brand new, have Him take all of the brokenness and make it into His righteousness, you can let us know. Come forward and we can pray with you as together we stand and as we sing.